That was probably one of the best announcements I've ever heard from Spitone. I got it. I'm still standing. If you need to get a hold of Spencer, look him up on his business. If you need to get a hold of Troy, look him up on a vet clinic. If anybody else have any other companies that they'd like to promote? That was awesome. Well, Gift of Christmas is right around the corner. We got lots of fun things going on. Our first snow. Is everybody excited about that?
Christmas.
Is now a good time to announce the ski trip?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's on the horizon. Well, that'll be in the end of towards the end of February. We'll have more information about that later. Everybody having a good week? Anybody not having a good week? Don't lie. Anybody not having a good week? Rick's not here, so he's having a really bad week. If you miss one of my messages, you're having a really bad week. Anybody else? We'll have an opportunity to pray through some of that. So we had an awesome message from Michelle last week, which was phenomenal, power-packed, and quick. I just want to reassure everybody that I have no intention of doing it that fast. So the difference between Michelle and I is she will fast and seek the Lord, and then she goes, it's power-packed and quick because she's hungry. She wants to go eat. I, on the other hand, have been feasting, and I brought a power part just in case. So I'll leave that up there. So now everybody's really excited, amen? Nervous claps. Lord, put your hand on your head and on your heart. You got two hands? There we go. Yep. Tap your head. Rub your stomach. Oh, Lord, I'm in a really weird mood today. Father, help us out. Lord, we just worship you. We love you this morning. We want to hear your heart. We want to walk with you. We want to encounter you in every way, Father. So, Lord, I just pray that there would be eyes to see, ears to hear, open hearts to receive everything that you have, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it's been a really interesting week for me. And so you guys get to experience some of that. I feel like I've been kind of walking through sludge all week. Has anybody ever felt that way? Not like you're doing bad, not like you're under severe attack, but you're just kind of sludging through stuff. Anybody? Okay, got a couple hands. So I want to talk a little bit about my week, and that'll steamroll into some of the other things that the Lord's put on my heart for today. So Monday was Holy Clubs.
Holler.
And I'll just have this up here just in case. And I haven't had the opportunity to experience all Holy Clubs, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that Monday night's Holy Club is the best Holy Club.
Amen.
And no. And so we were going through it, and the Lord started to kind of show me some things, as he does with Holy Clubs, because it's really good. But the Lord started to show me the input and the sacrifice that the people in our group have made over the last several weeks for Holy Clubs. And he started showing me individual people and their sacrifices, and I got overwhelmed with this sense of gratitude for the people that are a part of the Holy Clubs. And I got there. I usually get there pretty early. But I walked in, and Jamie McCray was there getting things ready for the 100 hours of prayer, which was awesome this past week. And then Mike showed up on time. Gabriel was in tow. They did this like pass off while he came to Holy Clubs, and Jamie kept setting things up. And then Benson called from out of town. She was on a business trip, and she wanted to be a part of it. And Kim was tending to Rick, and still made every effort to show up and put all the efforts there. Brenda's in the midst of some awesome breakthrough for their household, and they're in the middle of an amazing, fun transition and an answer to prayer. And she's made time to be there. And so the Lord started, and the others, if I left you out, it's not on purpose. The Lord highlighted each one of you on some level as far as the sacrifice that you guys have made. And I began to see this overwhelming sense of community and the heart commitment that people have made, not only to Holy Clubs, but to this house and to the body at large. And he started to show me the impact that has on us as sons and daughters, as believers, but as a community and as a family. And then I got to Tuesday, which after Holy Clubs, I was feeling pretty good. I've been fighting something back and forth, cough, cold, other random things. I know a few people are battling through that as well. But then I got to Tuesday night. So Tuesday during the day, I was kind of having a sludgy day. I'm just kind of working through work, just not really feeling much, and just kind of getting to the end of the day. And then I get here for Fire and Wind. And the room is set up. We had a lot of these chairs removed if you weren't here. We had everything set up for the 100 hours of prayer. And the Lord showed me a picture of a prophetic act of something that we did. And actually, I have a video of it, if we can pull that up. So the Lord, I had gotten to a place by Fire and Wind where I just didn't feel good at all. And the Lord started speaking to my heart about, we can turn the volume up. That's fine. That's okay. We'll figure it out. So by Tuesday night, I had gotten to this place where I was just kind of not really feeling it, and the Lord put on my heart, like, okay, there's got to be breakthrough here at some point. So we all gathered in this circle, and we started playing that song, Strike the Ground. If you guys have heard it, it's pretty intense. And so it turned into this. Can we play it again? Where we were all gathered in a circle. And that probably went on for a good 20, 30 minutes. So the Lord started speaking to me some more about the impact of prophetic acts like that, but also about the community. So if you look at the picture, you can see, you look around, and you've got everybody in a circle there, but you can see Luke on the left-hand side, in the left corner, and then you can't really see him in this picture, but right between Kim and myself, on the right-hand side, Gabriel was there, and everybody was pounding on the ground, just crying out for revival, and crying out more and more for revival. And at one point, Gabriel and Kim was telling me, and I did kind of feel it, but she said, Gabriel extended his hand towards me, and what did he pray? Fire? More? More fire. I love it when our kids are engaged. So that actually, that seemed to carry this break this weight off of me, and I was actually feeling much better. I went into work Wednesday morning, just pretty lit up, feeling pretty good. And excited, and a lot of people could tell the difference. And then fast forward to early Thursday morning, which is how I got to where I'm going to go. So Thursday morning, I came in. It was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I came to the 100 hours of prayer, and I met with a friend who will remain nameless, but he's the one that most similarly looks like John the Baptist in our body. So we met, and we started praying for different things that were on our heart. And then all of a sudden, we started praying for the body as a whole. And at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what you guys like to do if you're up praying. I like to move, because if I'm not moving, I'm falling asleep. So I started this little whirlwind walk in circles, and we started praying for the church. We started praying for the body. And I started to feel this thing rising up inside of me. And I started making these declarations about who we are. Not just individually, but who we are as a body of believers, as a community, and the call and anointing that's on our lives as individuals, but also corporately. And I got this overwhelming sense of responsibility for the things that the Lord had put on my heart, the things that he had laid before me to carry and be responsible for. So it turned into this thing that kept rising up and rising up. And as I was throughout that morning, I was praying about a few things. And at one point I said, one of the things I'm praying about is I have no idea what I'm sharing about on Sunday. And I don't generally like that. By Thursday, I prefer to have a general idea of what I'm going to be sharing. And so through that prayer, it just kept rising up, rising up, rising up. And I just kept praying out, Lord, that this would be a house that they would just stand. They would stand in the place that they're called to stand. And so the Lord took me to Nehemiah, which is where we're gonna walk through a little bit of that this morning. But all that to say that through Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday encounters, the one overwhelming thing that I've seen is that I am so blessed to be a part of a community of believers that stand for everything that God has, and to be a part of a people group that loves the Lord so fervently. And I wanted to say first, thank you guys for your hearts and for the sacrifices, for the willingness to step into the things that the Lord has called you to, because it's not just for you, but it causes breakthrough for the entire community. The sacrifices that you make stepping into the destiny that is put on your life causes breakthrough for destinies in other people's lives around you. And I want to walk a little bit through that in the book of Nehemiah, where we see that more and more. But in this house, I could not be more grateful for the people that I get to walk this out with every single day. And it has been a genuine joy to be able to do this with you. So Nehemiah, okay, Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm just going to start at the beginning. And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Xerxes, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to God, the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Now, we're going to go through a couple chapters here, but Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. And generally, the rule is when you're in the presence of the king, you're joyful and you're happy. And so the king is the one who actually notices that Judah's not very happy, and you see this response that he has, where he's all of a sudden nervous because the king has realized that he's not happy. And so what does Nehemiah do? I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? And Nehemiah's response here, it says that I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servants have found favor before you, send me to Judah, the city of the fathers of the tombs, and that I may rebuild it." So he makes this request of the king, but what does he do first? He prays. And I love this about Nehemiah, because you see this continuous theme where in the moment, in that quick spot, his heart stays submitted to God continuously. He makes requests of the king, but he doesn't do it before he goes before the Lord. And so you start to see the response of the king. It says, if I found favor in you. So then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside me, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the province beyond the river, that there may that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber and take beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house of which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. So I love this about Nehemiah, and I think it's an awesome principle about what the Lord would cause us to walk into at times, is that when you have the attention of the king, you kind of swing for the fence. And that's completely what Nehemiah did. So it starts off as just asking for permission to go. And that's granted. So the Lord has opened that door for him, and what's the next step? You found favor with the king, you might as well keep going. I think there are so many times that this isn't a bad thing. So let me, I'm not gonna do that to you guys. I'm not gonna take that long. So there are times, I think, when we get so overwhelmed by the provision of God that we forget to in that heart of gratitude, to continue to press into that. Now, let me give you a good practical example of what I mean by that. So recently, especially with all this sickness stuff going on, like recently I had an opportunity to pray for somebody's knee at work. It was healed. I was excited and praised the Lord, and I thought it was awesome. 2 or 3 weeks later, there's like 5 people in the office that are struggling with these coughs, these colds, these headaches, and everything, just everything going on. And I have the hardest time, admittedly, I have the hardest time praying for things that are basic like that. Like I seem to have more faith with something like a knee than I do with a common cold. But I already seen the Lord break through with healing. Now, have I pushed that to the limit? Have I exercised all of the favor that I could possibly have from the Lord? No, because he definitely convicted me about that. Actually, right before the Ghana team left, Carly was up front, and I was in one of the pews stretching, which is not normal for me. I'm not a stretcher. So obviously something's wrong. And she said, well, what's wrong? I said, well, my back hurts. I said, but it's only because I haven't stretched. And she said, well, I can pray for it. I go, it's more like a bad stewardship thing. So, I feel like there's times where I don't have a right to pray or ask for something simply because I haven't necessarily, if I were stretching, this wouldn't have been an issue. But Carly, being Carly, had the faith, stepped up, laid hands on my back, prayed, and honestly, without doing much more stretching, it was pretty good 24 hours later. I haven't had any back problems since. So I'm learning. But there are times when the Lord gives us favor and he calls us to keep moving forward in that favor. To not look at it as, okay, God gave me this, we're done. But to continue to step forward in that. So Nehemiah finds this favor, and what does he do? He not only gets permission, but he asks the king, he said, well, not since you're letting me go, can you give me a free pass to go through all of the territories? Oh, and by the way, can I have access to your forest? So not only do I need permission to go, but I also want to take your supplies. And what happens? The king actually grants him all of this. So we get to chapter 3, and I'm not going to read it, but it basically lists what everybody does to start building the wall. And it you see this picture, if you read it all the way through, it just paints this picture of basically this continuous line of provision coming through of people stepping in to start building the wall. And it actually starts with the high priest. So you have the high priest who it says that they started building towards the gates. And then it passes on and on and on. And the entire chapter is just this progression of people continually stepping into building the wall. And you see this community mentality of people just willing to step in and start building more and more and more and more. And then you get to chapter 4, which is where I want to spend a little bit more time on. It says in chapter 4, it says, "Now it came about that when Sanballat," Bala, what do you guys want? Sanballat? "Heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifice? Can they finish in a day? Can they receive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?' Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was near him, and he said, 'Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down.'" And so the Lord started showing me some of the schemes of the enemy. Now, I believe very strongly in our focus being on the Lord, but Scripture is very clear that we need to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. And I think Nehemiah kind of paints this really amazing picture of different ways that the enemy would try to steal, kill, and destroy. And the very first thing that happens is it says that he mocked the Jews. The enemy is always going to question and mock your identity. He always wants you to be in a place of questioning who you really are. Because the moment we lose sight of who we are as sons and daughters of great inheritance, that whole wall starts falling apart. You've opened the door for the enemy to bring lies. So when you start stepping into the things that the Lord calls you to, it might feel completely overwhelming. You might feel completely inadequate to the task. Because the enemy is going to try and convince you that you are inadequate to the task. Because he wants to be able to rob that from you. Because the moment we forget who we are, the moment we start to do things in our own power, and that's when everything falls apart. He's going to question and mock the calling and anointing. He says, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day?" The moment you start making progress in the destiny of your life, in the things that the Lord calls you to, what's the enemy going to do? He wants to slow it down. He wants to rob from you. And he wants to convince you that you're not actually accomplishing anything. So he steals your identity. And then he tries to point out every weakness so that you can convince yourself that you're inadequate to the task. And three, he minimizes and belittles the progress and accomplishments that you've made in your destiny. Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stones down." And it's the idea that as you continue to progress with the Lord, what happens? The enemy, he's going to try and steal, kill, and destroy it. He's going to try and convince you that even what you have done really isn't that significant. If the enemy can come here and say, "Look at you. There's only 40, 50, 60 people here. What have you really accomplished?" If he can take everything that you have fought for and stepped forward and convinced you that it really isn't that great, if you're convinced that the accomplishments that the Lord has walked you through aren't that great, how hard are you going to fight for him? So there are things that the Lord is calling you to step into, and the enemy in his attempts, he's going to try and convince you that you're not adequate, that you don't have a great inheritance, and the things that you accomplished aren't that great. Because he wants it to stop, because he can actually begin to see the end game. He can actually see the progress. He sees in the spirit. The enemy's defeated, but he's not stupid. There's a difference. So he sees the progress that you're making. He sees the anointing that's on your life, and he wants to try and stop that. So in verse 4, it says, this is how they responded. It says, "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized the builders. I have a note here. It says, the response of believer in the midst of attack is always found in the presence of the king. That they didn't even feel the need to respond to the accusations, but they just kept building. You know what else I love about this? It says, do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you. I'm not saying to pray that way about people who are coming against you, but do you see that even in the prayer from an Old Testament people who are rebuilding a place that had been completely demolished, they still see God as a God of forgiveness? You recognize that in that verse? It says, don't forgive him, because they know that his natural intuition is to forgive. I'm not saying pray that for people, but their response is to go before the Lord continuously. In verse 6, it says, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. This, I underlined this, bolded it, and highlighted it in yellow, because I have days where I need this verse, where it says, the people had a mind to work. How many times have you guys gotten into your day and just, not really feeling it. Tired. Fire and Wind went 40 minutes overtime. It's a long day. 100 hours of prayer. I've been fasting for 72 hours. Just not really feeling it today. I'm convinced that the more time we spend in prayer, the more we're able to make up our mind to work. And I'll just leave that alone because it's too convicting to go beyond that. Now, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. Verse 9, but we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up guard against them day and night. So here's the interesting part about this passage. When I was here Thursday morning and I started praying, it's been a while since I've read Nehemiah. I know the general account, but I had kind of wasn't too familiar with all of the details. And what I prayed out is exactly what happens in these following verses. Is that I was praying that the Lord would wake up the intercessors, that he would wake up the people in here. And it's not to say that you guys have been sleeping at all. That's not my heart. But I believe that there are times when the Lord calls us to be more attentive because of certain circumstances that are surrounding us. And so I was praying out more and more. And I had this picture as I was praying out of people standing on the wall all around. And the enemy coming to bring an attack and then all of a sudden sees people standing on the wall everywhere. And I see the enemy as he's bringing in a whole camp to attack. I see him watching everybody on the wall with eyes to see, ears to hear, attentive and praying in the spirit and what the Lord is doing. And all of a sudden he sees that the people are ready for the attack, that it's no longer a surprise. And what does he do? He yells abort and goes fleeing in the other direction. And so in verse 9, it says, but we prayed to God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish. And we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told
told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the spaces behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house. That this was the cry of my heart, that I believe that each and every person here has a certain position, not limited to just that, but you see what Nehemiah did? He put them in the exposed places. So picture this wall that it's not a complete wall. It's not all the way built. And I know a lot of you guys are aware of this. We've heard other accounts of this. The place that the enemy can attack is where he has easy access. So what does Nehemiah do? He puts people in those places, the places where the wall is low or completely exposed. And so here's what the Lord was showing me, is that each person here has a destiny, has an anointing, has a calling, and has a responsibility to fill a hole. And it's not just for you, but it's for everybody else that's a part of the community. Because the moment one hole is exposed and the enemy can come in, it affects the rest of the community. And so what the Lord kept putting on my heart Thursday morning as I was just crying out for his presence and just praying over this house, is that each person here has an amazing anointing and an amazing destiny to be responsible for the thing that the Lord has put in front of you. That I can't be responsible for the things that the Lord puts on Cynthia's heart. I'm going to use her because I can deal with that later. That I can't be responsible for the thing that the Lord puts on Troy's heart. I don't have to deal with that. I love you, Troy. I can use Troy as an example because he's pretty good at filling those gaps everywhere. That each person here... Lord, there are times and seasons where the Lord causes us to grow up. And I can no longer rely on other people to feed me when I have a responsibility. So what happens? It says that he stations the men in the lowest places, the spaces behind the walls and exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with the sword, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. That Nehemiah's responsibility was to put those people in their place, but the moment he was able to discern that there was fear, he addressed it immediately. And that's what I love about this community. That's what I love about church. That's what I love about the body of Christ, is that there are times when in our responsibility we can feel like we're standing in this gap all alone and somebody will come along to encourage. And how does Nehemiah do that? He says, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. We have heard so many messages and we have so many testimonies. Remember the Lord. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's doing. Remember the calling and the anointing that's on your life. Remember who he is in the midst of battle. That he continuously is reminding us of the responsibility that I have as a son, but as a member of a community as well. This isn't the most fun message, and I didn't really want to give it. You can blame Ashley Lockhart. Didn't know that was coming, huh? So a lot of you guys know I got a lot of books for my birthday recently because I asked for them, and Ashley gave me this awful book that after 10 pages I was like screaming and throwing it out the door because it was way too convicting. Seriously, like 9 pages, it was awful. You guys want to know the book or just stay away from it altogether? I see a lot of, I see a few women going yes, and I see their husbands. Keep it away, keep it away. The book is called Good or God by John Bevere. It's awful. Strongly encourage it. It's the worst. I actually put it down. I started reading it like I think Monday or Tuesday, and I was like, I can't. And let me get through Sunday, and then I'll pick it back up. Because the rest of the week, I'm like, is this just good? Is this just good, or is this what you actually want? And the worst part was like that was what I was praying for. I was like, God, I don't want to just give a good, fun message. I don't want people just to come up and just be like, yay. And then I read the book, and I was like, God, I just want to give a good message. I don't need anything that's convicting or challenging, just something that's going to get people excited about you, because I love you, and I want them to be excited about you. He didn't fall for it. I gave my best effort. And my wife will attest that that's pretty good. I can make a good argument. Never seem to win, but I can make a really good argument. Verse 15, it says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their loads with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built. They were always prepared and their weapons never left their side. This is like awful on many levels for me. Because there are so many times when I feel like the Lord is calling me into something that I get excited about, which is good. It's his heart. And something that I genuinely just want to do. And I'm reminded as I'm doing that my guard needs to stay continually up. And that's not to say it's a lack of trust, but there's a calling on each person's life where the Lord wants you to step into things that fulfill you and fill you up with joy and excitement. But we have to battle for those things. Because one of the most dangerous things to the enemy is a son and daughter who is full of joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're as sons and daughters walking into our whole life and we're carrying that out in these places of extreme joy where we're strengthened, there's nothing that the enemy can do to steal, kill, and destroy. So we see this calling, and it says that the servants carried on the work, so they continued the building, but they were constantly in a place of prepared for battle. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go out and get a sword and carry it everywhere you go. That probably won't go well. Or other weapons. Got a few hunters. But the greatest weapon, I heard this, I'm stealing it. I think it was Bill Johnson, so I'm going to paraphrase it because I can't say it that well. The greatest weapon we can ever have in battle is the Lord's presence. That we carry that everywhere we go. Everything that we step into, everything that we do, we carry the Lord's presence. Which means we have the ability to hear his voice, we have the ability to discern what's happening around us, and we have the ability to battle it. One of the greatest breakthroughs for me this past week on Tuesday night was when we were just hitting the ground, striking the ground with revival. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, strike the ground. What are the words? Strike the ground, the wells of revival, right? Burst forth. The wells of revival burst forth, right? Okay. And as I'm hitting it, my hand's going a little numb. I'm starting to sweat. And the Lord starts speaking to my heart as I'm hitting it. He goes, where's the revival coming from? It's in you. He said, it's inside of you. You are carrying, you carry the revival. You carry that presence. You carry the breakthrough. So I'm sitting there hitting the ground, and all of a sudden this starts welling up inside of me, and the Lord's like, the revival's already in you. You're already carrying it. Just release it. And then all of a sudden it just turned into this cry, this yelling and screaming and overwhelming feeling of God's presence. And then all of a sudden that just kept burning in my heart and in my head. You carry the revival. It's already inside of you. The greatest battle that you have is learning how to tap into it. Not getting it, you already have it. You carry his presence everywhere you go. So what do you see here as an example in Nehemiah? That people were continuously in a place ready for battle. How are we as New Testament, as a part of the new covenant, doing that? We carry his presence everywhere we go. You already have the sword of the Spirit. It's inside of you. So you now carry that into you, into every circumstance that you go to. And it's just a matter of learning how to tap into that. And that's what I think is so critical about this message is, from Nehemiah's standpoint, is that there are times when you need the community to tap into that. I'm not saying every single time, but there's clear evidence throughout Scripture where the Lord calls us to tap into his presence through the community that he's surrounded you with. Look at Moses holding up his arms. He couldn't do it any longer. And that's what I love about Tuesday night, is that it took everybody to tap into that. That the people striking the ground and crying out for God, the people up on the stage worshiping the Lord and releasing that more and more. That we as a community have the ability to tap into his presence, but we have to be responsible for the individual things that the Lord puts on our heart. We have to be able to stand in that gap, in that wall, to create an atmosphere for the whole blessing and the entire community. Oh, this part's good. You like this part. Maybe. In verse 18, I'll start in 19. It says, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So I'll begin to wrap up with this. Not bad. Begin to wrap up. Because I'm really into prophetic acts this week. So we're all going to do one. So you have these people along the wall building everywhere they go. And there's a constant threat of an attack from the enemy. So what does Nehemiah do? He sets it up where he says, at whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. So he's saying that anywhere, anytime you're working, if you hear a trumpet, you answer the call of that trumpet. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're in the middle of. He's saying there's an attack happening on this front over here. We rally to it. And that's the strength, and that's what I love. There have been so many times in my life where I feel like I just don't have the authority, I don't have the ability to continue fighting for something. And what happens? Without fail, somebody usually somebody here in this house, comes alongside with me, prays with me, encourages me, strengthens me until I see the breakthrough. And it's great because it's not just a moment. How many of you guys know that breakthrough doesn't always happen instantly? If you are experiencing breakthrough instantly every single time, one, I need you to pray for me. And two, there might be more things that he wants to break through. So you hear the trumpet, you hear the cry, it means that there is a battle and it requires a response of a community. What is your response going to be? That every time I hear of somebody, it's overwhelming to me to think how many times people have been willing to answer that trumpet for my life. That I am blessed enough to have a body of believers that surround me here and at home. Family, brothers, sisters, my mom, people that see a battle and come alongside. And that's what I love. It's not just one prayer meeting. But it's a continuous thing. It's this constant flow of people check up on me all the time. I'm fortunate enough to be able to check up on other people that I stand with. How is that? How are you in the midst of this? How is your heart? How is this battle going? Where are you seeing victory? Where are you not seeing victory so that I can continue to stand with you? I think one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is discouragement. If he can cause you to be discouraged because you haven't experienced breakthrough, you stop asking. The moment you stop asking, that trumpet stops sounding. That if you can be convinced from the enemy that you're not experiencing your breakthrough, what right do you have to continue to ask? He's cut you off from that community. But if you can stay in a position where you recognize that the breakthrough is coming, that takes you right back to chapter, the beginning of chapter 4, I think, where he's ridiculed, where he tries to convince you that your accomplishment isn't that great. All of a sudden, you're looking at your life and you're like, God, where are you in the midst of all this? Why have I not experienced everything that you've promised me? That right there is the trumpet. So what do you need? You need other brothers and sisters to come alongside of you and say, what do you need right now? How can I pray for you? And very practically, very honestly for myself, there are times when I don't want to pray. We'll remove that from the recording. But you get so caught up in these battles sometimes. If the enemy can just cause you to be discouraged and just sit there and go, ah, I've prayed for this like 30 times. How much more can I possibly pray for one thing? Let somebody else come and pray for you. We don't need to shy away from the battle. We need to be fully engaged and expectant of a breakthrough. And there are times when you need that other person to come in and hold your hands up. And there are times when you're going to be the one standing in that gap. And you have to own it. That's the hardest part for me, that there are things that the Lord puts on my heart to do, either in ministry or at work. He says, this is your responsibility. You have to own this. And that's not to say that he can't do it without me. That's silly. That's a lie. But there are things that he calls me to do. There are things that he calls you to do. And he's strengthening you to do that. And the moments where you feel discouraged, where you feel the attack of the enemy, sound the trumpet. and we will rally.
I have a note here. It says, if you want breakthrough, be quick to fight for another's breakthrough. When you hear that trumpet sound, be quick to respond. There are so many times when the Lord has sounded the trumpet for somebody else, and the prayer that I've prayed for other people have caused breakthrough for my own life. Verse 21 says, so we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. And that time I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon even to the water. In a place of continually being prepared for anything that the Lord would call us to. Continually being in a place where we're ready to respond to the Lord. And as we continue just to stand in that wall, to stand in that gap, to stand in those places where it says it's vulnerable and exposed, He creates a wall. And in the midst of that, we see the destinies being fulfilled and the calling on our lives. That it's not just about my individual calling. It's not just about your individual calling. But as we steward that properly, we begin to see breakthrough for a whole community. And I'm not just talking about frontline. We're seeing breakthrough. That was that cement? Can anybody confirm that in the north? Like, if you guys have been there in the past, that looked huge. I was there when we were trying to... You ever try to put nails in African wood? You're praying. The sweat and anointing. Some of you might know. I'm not the most handy person in the world. Some of you know, now everybody knows. Apparently more people knew than I realized. That's when I sound the trumpet and Carl comes running. But I wasn't the one doing the hammering. I think it was Rick that one year. And that man knows what he's doing. And I'm talking like he's up on the roof full force. Like all the way back, hard as he can, all the way down. Hits it square. It's not like, you guys ever see Karate Kid? Tap, tap, bang. It's not that. It's not that at all. I mean, he's full force, just hitting it as hard as he can. I saw a couple where he hit that thing square hard. I swore I saw sparks. And it went down like a half of a millimeter. But to see that, over 400 people responding, you go to the north and you see what the enemy has a stronghold of, the areas that he has. He's held people captive for years. To see people rallying in that area in the name of Jesus, those walls are being built. There's people responding, and there's a community being blessed. Don't let the enemy convince you that what the Lord has done has been small or insignificant. Don't let the enemy convince you that your identity is insignificant. Don't let the enemy convince you that the anointing on your life is too small. Because the more he can do that, he's going to try and steal everything. Significant. I'm gonna release them in like 2 minutes. You guys have fun back there. to go from
what I remember Ghana North being to seeing where it's at today. I'm so excited about what the Lord has continued to do. And that's something that, he is worthy of being praised about. And there is something in each one of your lives that he is worthy about being praised about. So I came in this morning. I had no idea how I wanted to end. Thank God for worship, because I think I figured it out. So I don't do it often, but I did ask Darlene if she takes requests, and she played that song. And the Lord has continued to speak to my heart about that in context of this message. And it's one line. It's very simple. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. But like I said this morning during worship, I'm going to have everybody come up, and what we're going to do is we're going to sound the trumpet, okay? If you are in a place right now in your life where you need breakthrough, I want you to come forward. If there's something that you feel like you're being attacked on, if you think that there's a part of your destiny I don't want to belittle anything. If you're just having a rough week, that let's not sound the trumpet yet. If you feel like the enemy is purposely trying to steal, kill, or destroy something in your life, I want you to come forward, and we're going to have your hand raised, okay? And I want the rest of you as a community to rally around those people, okay? We're gonna lay hands on them. Do we have the worship team here still? Part of the worship team? Some of the worship team? Enough of the worship team? We'll just have Carl do it as he runs out. I would have done the same thing. And I'm going to have the worship team come up, and we're gonna do that again. We're going to sing that song as many times as it takes. As many times as it takes until at least 4 o'clock, and then I got to go. If it goes past that, you're on your own. But here's what the Lord keeps saying to me. As I was singing that out, praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. There are times when you're singing that out. Come on up, guys. Like I said, there are times when you're singing that out as a testimony of who God is and what he's done. There are people in here that have experienced breakthrough in the exact areas that other people are still waiting to experience breakthrough for. So as you're praying for whoever comes up for prayer, sing that out as a testimony. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. If you're up here because you feel like you're being attacked, sing that out as a declaration. Sing that out, that my mind, my will, my emotions, that my soul will praise the Lord. Because I'm telling you, the greatest breakthroughs that happen are in the midst of those moments where you just don't want to do it at all. Because that's right where the enemy wants you. He wants to get you right in that place where you're going to give up, where you're right on the verge of giving up. Or maybe you have given up. Let somebody else here stand next to you and bring you back into that place of life, of breakthrough, of destiny. Because that's the call as a community. You're standing in a gap and you're under attack. You've been put in this place. You're responsible for what the Lord has put on you, and the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy it. Let's sound the trumpets. Let's rally around them and declare God's goodness in the midst of crummy circumstances. That I will praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I will praise the Lord. That becomes a part of our identity, of who we are, that I am one who praises the Lord with all that I am, that I don't care what my circumstances are. Who remembers what my message was last time? And don't just say anchors. Does anybody remember what we talked about? Anchored in the Lord. Right. that we remain connected, anchored to the Lord, unwavering, unswayed by our circumstances. Told you, it's the same thing, just put in different contexts. I only have one message. Just got to come up with creative ways to present it. That the Lord calls us to be in that place where if your circumstances, if the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, everything around you looks like it's falling apart. Do you know what I hate about giving that message? Is that every time I give it, the Lord puts me in these circumstances where it has to be tested. It's awful. Please don't make me do that in vain. I want to see breakthrough. I want to rally around people who desire to see breakthrough. So if you are feeling like you're under attack, I don't want you to shy away from it. I'm not giving the enemy glory here. I want you to come forward. If you feel right now like you've been under attack, come forward. This isn't to give the enemy any strength, but this is to recognize where the holes are, where the attack is, and to sound the trumpet. We're going to sound the trumpets. If you want prayer, if you feel like you're being attacked, put your hand in the air real high. Don't shy away from that. Here's what I want everybody to understand. We are not giving the enemy any glory here. That's not what this is about. This is sounding the trumpet. This is the rally cry. You don't have to shy away from that. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to let the enemy bring condemnation into your life and believe a lie that you've done something wrong to deserve an attack from the enemy. There's a good chance that you're doing something right, and that's why you're being attacked. So don't shy away from it. So we're going to sing that out, that I want to praise you into a breakthrough. I want to praise the Lord into a breakthrough. I want to bring everybody into circumstances where the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy into a place where you say, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That my soul will praise the Lord. That I don't care what my circumstances are. I don't care what the enemy is trying to do. I will praise the Lord. So anybody else, you don't even have to tell me your circumstances. We don't need to hear it. We just need to praise the Lord through it. So if you are around here, you see somebody with their hands up, gather around them. Rally the troops. And we're going to sing this out and declare it. I want you to declare it from a place of victory. I want you to declare it from a place of standing for the promises of God. Praise the Lord, because He is worthy. He is worthy. I think Peter's got it right. He's contending for a breakthrough and he's praying for somebody else. Let's do that. Don't shy away from this. Put your hands on somebody, lay hands on them, that we will experience that breakthrough. Holy Spirit, come. Father, release the breakthrough of heaven, that we will praise you, Lord. We will praise you, Lord, with everything that is inside of me. I will stand for the promises of God. I will rally around every son over every daughter until I see the breakthrough that was created for this community.
Praise the Lord, oh.
just continue to praise the Lord. I believe that he's bringing into remembrance the areas where you have seen breakthrough, whether it's in your own life or it's somebody else's life as a testimony, that each and every person here has seen a level of breakthrough. You've seen God move on either yours or somebody else's behalf, that there have been circumstances shifted and changed. He's bringing that into your memory as you just continue to praise him. He's opening the heavens so that you can see clearly, that he's removing the fog and the mist of the lies of the enemy. And he's bringing into clarity the purposes that he's put on your life. That some of you are staring at this large gaping hole and you're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling overwhelmed at your circumstances. You're feeling like there's no way you could be responsible for this one thing. And the Lord is calling you to remember. He's calling you to remember. Remember who he is. Remember what he's done. And that he is the only one who is worthy of all of the praise. That you are declaring that out. Let that be the cry of your heart all week. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I feel like some of you are, that you're in a place where that needs to be a declaration to your soul. That you're not feeling it at all, and that's fine. We don't move on emotions, but you can declare that my soul will praise the Lord. And as you continue to do that, as you continue to come before the Lord with a sacrifice of praise, Scripture is always talking to us about bringing a sacrifice of praise. It's cost something. There is a sacrifice found in praise. There is a place where he calls you to go in intercession, in prayer, of sacrifice to the Lord, a sacrifice of praise. If you're not feeling it, that's fine. I don't need you to feel it to experience a breakthrough. Breakthrough is not feeling. Breakthrough is breakthrough. It's not a feeling. It's a breakthrough. You don't need to feel anything. You need to make up in your mind, in your soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Speak to your soul. Praise the Lord, that I will praise the Lord in everything because he is the worthy one. I give him all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh my soul. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I have a moment just to lift up the part of this community that's not able to be here, as John the Baptist reminded me? For Mary Teresa, for Joe, and for Mary Markley. And there are actually a couple other people that are out sick today, as well as the Ghana team. So we're just going to lift them up, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We lift your name up. We praise you, Lord, over each one of their lives, Father God, over their circumstances, Lord. We declare, praise the Lord. Father God, we praise you into their circumstances. Lord, we stand next to them, Father God. We contend for their healing and for their breakthrough. Praise the Lord, Father God. We praise you in those circumstances. We praise you, Father God, because you are worthy. Take it away. Lord, release, 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 Father God. Release healing over each one of them. Release the breakthrough that they're contending for, Father God. Draw them into a place of praise, into a sacrifice of praise, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. Thank you, Lord, for your healing touch over them. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough, Father God. Lord, we stand next to them in that spirit, in that area, Father God, and we pray. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, through their circumstances. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We lift your name up. Praise you, God. Father, I pray this, that this would be the cry of our hearts, Lord, into every circumstance, into every situation that we walk into. We're able to look at the heavens and declare that I will praise the Lord. That we would stand in that place, Father God. We would walk into the calling and the anointing that you've put before us. That we would be responsible for the things that you call us to step into, Lord. That we will sound the trumpets as the enemy begins to attack. That we will declare that we will praise the Lord. And that we will stay in a place of continually being in remembrance of who you are and the fact that you are worthy of all of our praise. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person here, for every sacrifice of praise that has been made, known and unknown to us, Lord, that there are sacrifices of praise and worship that are offered to you on a daily basis, Lord, that we know not of. There are people in this community, in this house right here, who are continuously sacrificing in areas that we don't even see. And I thank you, Lord, for those sacrifices. I bless them, Lord, and I thank you, Father God, for every breakthrough that they have seen and every breakthrough they will see. Lord, may we stay in that place of continuously praising you with all that we are, so that we can experience the breakthrough in our own lives, and then we can also see it happening in our neighbors, in our friends, in our family. Thank you, Lord. That every person here would be blessed. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. 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 I was kind of picturing that earlier. I just don't know how to blow one of them. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Saying is that as we're faithful to step into that place in the wall, that we don't forget that the Lord battles for us. It's our step of faith to partner with our friends to be there at that spot in the wall, but then the Lord supernaturally through us fights the battle. Hey, ha, 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 ha. Holy One.
While Peter was blowing the trumpet, I just saw these angels that the Lord was releasing on our behalf. And I saw that the chains of the enemy, or the weights the enemy was trying to hold or put on us as oppression, that I saw these angels coming and just taking the chains and breaking them and just releasing that. So, Lord, I just thank you for the angels that are on our behalf, Lord, that the battle belongs to you, Lord Jesus, that you have the victory. You've given us the victory, Lord. All we have to do is believe and contend and stand, Lord, and you strengthen us. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for opening my eyes to see the angels that are being released, Lord. We just commission them more on assignment, Father, and every area for every person in this community, Father, to receive the breakthrough, to receive the promise that you have, Father, in Jesus' name.
Is just going to draw people into that revelation more and more this week. That you're going to find yourself standing in circumstances and coming up against things. And it's going to start as a faint voice, as an echo of this morning where you begin to hear, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. And that's going to build up and it's going to turn into a cry, into a battle cry. Never shy away from the battle. called to charge into those battles that the Lord calls us to, knowing that He fights on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that that stays in our spirit, that we praise you with all that we are. Thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough that each person here was created for. And Father, I just pray that they are blessed, 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 overflowing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you.